Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teach us about who he is and what he has done. Jesus is called the Bread of Life. Just as God gave life to his people in the desert by providing manna, so Jesus gives life to his people through his body broken on the cross, which we remember in the breaking of the bread in communion.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
If you don't get on it, you're going to force us to AI. You don't want that. We don't want that. This is Wretched Radio. Today is, and all of next week will be, mailbag days, which means we need lots of stuff from you. So questions that you might have, conundrums, church issues, you see something wretched, send it. Please, to idea@wretched.org. You can also text 877-282-2337, because if you don't, Jimmy's going to have to go to the AI machine and make stuff up.
Just make it up.
Which pretty much the AI machine does a lot. I'm even getting a little bit skeptical of AI when it comes to doing any sort of research. I keep yelling at it, quit making stuff up. Oh, sorry, there must have been some confusion. No, there's no confusion. Go find this. I need the original source. I need to see the link so I can make sure that it's not taken out of context. And even when you tell it not to hallucinate, it will. So I'm like, yeah, it's there and it's helpful and stuff. And I'm even starting to think, even though I sometimes think AI is kind of like a research assistant, there are a lot of pastors that will have that, especially guys that are just like super busy running a lot of stuff and they're preaching or teaching. But professors even will have research assistants to, you know, do, just go find all of that stuff, compile it, bring it in, and they disseminate it as they see fit. Well, AI can be like that in my mind. But increasingly, I'm like, so what would happen if I fired the research assistant? Oh, I'd have to go back to doing everything myself. Would that be the worst thing in the world? I don't think that we should make a law where there is no law for pastors when it comes to how they manage their time. Because I think there are some godly pastors who would say, I can use the AI machine. It's not writing my sermon. It's just gathering stuff for me, and it's saving me a lot of time. Okay, you rock on. On the other hand, I can also see the argument, if pastors spend more time in the Word, could that possibly produce a bad fruit? Could that be the worst thing in the world as the guy grows in knowledge and godliness? I don't know. I'm just kind of chewing on going back to like being Morgan. Was it Morgan Stanley? The old fashioned? No. Who was it? That old commercial? Remember that guy? Great actor. Old guy. Great voice. They make money the old fashioned way. They earn it. Do you remember that commercial?
I do not.
Oh, that was a biggie. And I can't, it was like, what's the bull one? Morgan Stanley, I guess.
Oh,
it was one of those guys and great classic actor. They earn it. And isn't it funny how some of those things just become a part of the national consciousness? Well, at least they used to. Not so much anymore. We're so fractured, but I digress. Send stuff is what I'm trying to say. 877-282-2337.
Smith Barney.
They're not even in business anymore.
No, from 1979.
You know why? Because they didn't use AI. They did it the old-fashioned way.
That's right.
Maybe not. I don't know. I'm confused.
All right. This is a text from Elizabeth. Todd, our church is doctrinally sound from the pulpit, but we have a youth group leader who is unfriendly to the parents. We have two boys who will be entering the age range for the youth group, but are apprehensive about sending them to the youth pastor. What do you think we should do?
Well, I'm only getting like one little view of this here. I wonder if there's more to the story, because a youth pastor who's maybe doesn't have great interpersonal skills with adults, I don't think that would be a disqualifier. I think it would be an opportunity to help the guy. When we see church as the place where we genuinely one another, was just listening to a Phil Johnson sermon because we were preparing something. It's going to be out soon on Phil Johnson. It was in 1 Corinthians 16, and he was talking about the imperatives for pastors. And it was his classic. It was from 7 years ago. Don't be coy. Don't be clever. Don't be cool. And don't be something else. That began with the letter C. It was just awesome sermon. And he's talking about the mandate for all believers to stand firm, all believers to be defenders of doctrinal clarity. That's all of our jobs. And it's like, yeah, that's what the church is about. The congregation's role, among other things, besides, I think, participants in the holding of the kingdom of the keys, the priesthood of all believers doctrine, you are to be a defender of theological precision, that the Bible is being preached rightly. In other words, you participate in the life of the church, and that makes sense in light of the 30-some one another's. We're there for one another. This is something that I think every pastor should be willing to say. Congregation, I'm pleading with you to hold me accountable. Please, the second you hear something wonky that is like, whoa, that's a problem. You know, not a disagreement on something where we can disagree, but it's like, looks like Friel's getting into trouble there. Please come to me. I need you. We need each other. The elder is not an emperor sitting on a throne. He's a co-laborer who has just been given some authority to lead the church, but not to rule it over the church. The whole context of the church is one another, one another, one another. So if you've got yourself a youth pastor who appears to have an area that's a little bit soft and deficient, then shore it up for him. Help him out. Bring it to his attention. Love on the guy first. Show that you're not an enemy. Pray for him. And then saddle up next to him at an appropriate time and say, hey, let's talk about this. And however you choose to do it, so that the guy can be helped. And in the meantime, unless the kid is a rotten teacher, I don't think that would be something that would prohibit me from sending my kids to him. If the kid's a knucklehead when he's preaching and teaching and being silly and trite and not helpful, frankly, I wouldn't send my kids there. I don't need more of that influence on my children. I need dignified, mature, godly. Pull them up. Bring them up to your level. But short of that, I think you can still send just based on what you've sent. And then one another, the dude that's in the Bible. 877, you got something?
Yeah, I would just say also to add on to that, because she mentioned that he's been unfriendly to other parents.
Sure.
Don't vent to each other. Don't do the whole backbiting, talking, gossiping thing.
No, I agree with you on that.
Yeah.
Having said that, so Jimmy, here's the scenario. All right. Let's just say I'm a church. I've noticed the youth group guy, he's kind of snippy. And it hasn't just happened once. That would be like, whatever, one up. Second time, Third time, I'm starting to go, I think I'm seeing a pattern here. I might wait till the fourth or fifth time. And if I experience that, Jimmy, I'm asking you, could I ever go to somebody else who's got their kids in youth group and say, hey, have you ever experienced anything with the youth pastor and your interactions with him that perhaps are worth commenting on?
Oh, yeah, I think you can definitely do that.
As long as your motive isn't to just trash the guy.
That's right.
And to certainly gossip. I think there's got to be careful, though, because while we can use that as an excuse, and we can be so self-deceived when it comes to gossip.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm telling you. We think that caveats give us a pass. Hey, I'm not gossiping here, but that youth pastor is snippy. Okay, well, what just happened there? I deceived myself into thinking I wasn't being a talebearer when I was. In fact, in that instance, I'd be a factious individual. So be careful. Make sure your motive is correct. I do think you can discuss it. But then if you're going to do anything about it, don't keep discussing it. Don't. And infecting people. Because maybe some have had a perfectly fine interaction with him. And now you've planted a seed. So I don't think we should say there's never an opportunity to do that, but we really need to be wise and mature when we go about doing it. Now, if, madam, there's more to the scenario than what that letter let us understand, send it 877-282-2337.
So let me ask you this, because you said we caveat gossip, and we do that. We definitely do that in the church all the time. Where did the whole thing come from? You may not know, but I've heard it so much. Well, it's not gossip if it's true.
Well, it's not what's being communicated. It's whether or not it's needed. Is discretion and wisdom being applied? What's the motive and the intention? What's the goal? If the goal in our communication is to vent, feel like we're in the inn, we like sharing it because we just like, we knew something that you didn't know, or we don't like the individual that we're talking about and it's kind of a chance to hack them at the knees, I don't care if it is true. That it's. I think with gossip, it's not just the contents. I think almost more than the contents, it's the motivation. What's driving me to want to share this with somebody? And if it is not for their betterment, genuinely for their betterment, for their good, for the health of the body, then I got to tell you, it's probably time to zip it. And you will discover when you practice that kind of discretion, I wish I knew of a Greek word to make it sound all theological. You will just feel good. This is Wretched Radio.
You know what's crazy? You've got more computing power in your pocket right now than NASA used to send people to the moon. But most of us, well, we're using it to watch cat videos or argue with strangers online. But what if I told you there's a better way? The Fortis Plus app. I'm talking hundreds of hours of biblical content that'll actually make you smarter and more equipped for the battles you're facing every day. Not battles with other people, battles in your life. Dr. John Crotch breaks down theology you can actually use with Integrated. And Pastor Brad Bigney, he's helping your marriage thrive instead of just survive. Dr. Adam Tyson speaks truth into the hearts of young men, all on your phone and all for free. So while the world's feeding you garbage, you can be feeding your soul with solid biblical truth. Look, you're going to scroll through something today anyway. Why not make it something that actually strengthens your faith? Download the Fortis Plus app right now, wherever it is you download your apps from. It's free, it's powerful, and it's exactly what you need in this upside down world. Fortis Plus at fortisplus.org. Let me ask you a question. When was the last time you actually felt something without fear, without shame, without immediately wanting to numb it? If you're living on autopilot, you're not alone. Millions are told the same thing. It's just a chemical imbalance. Hey, take this, you'll be fine. But you're not fine. You're numb. Here's the truth the world doesn't tell you. Your emotions, they're not the enemy, but they also shouldn't be your master either. Dr. Greg Gifford gets that, and his new series, Life Without the Numb, is available right now at fortisplus.org. It's a free 10-week series that shows how God's Word speaks into anxiety, depression, and emotional chaos, and it does so with clarity you've never heard before. New episodes every Monday, absolutely free at fortisplus.org. This isn't about ignoring struggles. It's about transformation from the inside out. Life Without the Numb. Watch at fortisplus.org. Stop surviving and start living. Thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. Ever feel like you're watching the world turn upside down and wondering if everyone else is seeing the same thing you are? Yeah, you're not alone. And at Fortis Institute, we're not just watching from the sidelines. We're fighting back with truth. We've brought together some of the most trusted voices in Christianity, people who aren't afraid to speak biblical truth into marriage and parenting and manhood and the cultural battles we're facing every day. But here's the thing. That mission, well, it takes resources. And that's where faithful gospel partners come in. By becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner, you're not just supporting a ministry. You're investing in the spiritual fortification of countless believers and local churches across the nation. You're standing with us in this brave new world. And hey, while you're thinking about it, make sure you download Fortis Plus if you haven't already. Hundreds of hours of biblical content available for you to listen to right now, and we're adding more every day, and it's completely free for everyone. The church needs more than just encouragement right now. It needs equipping. Will you stand with us? Visit fortisinstitute.org right now to become an ongoing monthly gospel partner. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Attributes of God. Psalm 115, verse 3 says that God does all that he pleases. God is sovereign over his whole creation.
He has the right and the power to govern all things according to his will. Nothing occurs in your life that God, in his sovereignty, has not allowed. He is working all things for his glory and the good of those who love him. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Now we have two phenomena. It's not a phenomenon is singular. Phenomena. We got two of them. This is Wretched Radio. The first phenomena is how you feel when you practice discretion. I can't describe it to you, but I feel it. And in 2025, that's all that matters. I feel it. Therefore, it must be genuine. But there's just a sense of when you're in a conversation, you know something about the subject at hand, but you don't share it because you don't think that it is going to shine a good light on the person that is being discussed. I don't know what the emotion is, the sentiment, the synapse that fires, the serotonin that invades my happy center in my brain, whatever. It's like, that was good. That was good to do that, to not share that about somebody. You just feel good. And I think it's because you're being godly, you're being loving, you're being considerate, you're acting like Jesus, who never gossiped. And there's a reward. There's just an immediate reward. And I wish I could come up with a word for that, because that's the better stuff. The lesser stuff of life is, well, for instance, the plate of chicken salad I'm trying to eat during the break. Okay, the chicken salad is nice, especially if the chicken were done with a sous vide. But that's not like the big stuff of life. Accomplishing something. I just saw a clip. It popped up in my feed. It was going back to the year 2000, I believe, at a Passion conference. It was John Piper's historic sermon about, you know, don't waste your life. And the key visual that he used was, you might remember this, seashells. He did a compare and contrast these two elderly women who I believe, as I remember, I didn't watch the whole thing, but as I remember seeing it years ago, they went on a mission. They became missionaries in their 70s, and they ended up driving over a cliff and dying, something like that. And people would go, oh, that's just tragic. And he said, that's not tragic. That was a life well spent for Jesus Christ. Would you like to hear tragic? Here's a story from Reader's Digest. There's a dated reference for you, but this was back in 2000. It was basically somebody talking, you know, what to do in your twilight years, your senior years. And they're interviewing Ben. Harold plays golf and his handicap has come down from 18 to 14. And Sarah is now able to do the macrame that she always desired to do. Jolene and, did I use Harry yet? Jolene and Harry. A lot of Harrys in that generation. Jolene and Harry, they retired to Florida, where they gather seashells on the seashore. That's tragic. That's tragic. That's a waste of your golden years. And Piper pleaded with them, don't buy the lie. Don't buy it. That is not what the Christian life is about. There are bigger things. There are higher things. There are rewarding things. And one of those things is practicing discretion. Somebody coin a word for that. Smush two Greek words together. Let's coin a new phrase. That this wonderful sense of being obedient to God. Maybe that's it. It's just the joy of being obedient. Maybe, I was going to say, it could be the joy of actually applying wisdom, but then I couldn't have that feeling because I ain't got none of that. There are bigger things in life, and it's not the stuff the world touts. It's being obedient to Jesus. It just feels good. There's a phenomenon. You want to know the other phenomenon, Jimmy? Glad you asked. Just got a text from we have a friendship with a real estate agent that we've known now for years, and he just informed me that he's at the closing for our old house that he sold for us. Why is that bumming me out? It's not, I never think about the place. If I ever do, if it ever comes up, we drive by it. It's like, oh, we had good memories there. I remember the memories, but not the house itself. And now it's being sold again. And I'm kind of like, oh, that's a bummer. Jimmy, what is that phenomenon?
I'm not really sure what that's called.
Well, it's a phenomenon. I'm just telling you. House blues, something like that. Well, there's memories attached to that stuff, especially if you raise the kids there. Oh, man. But if you'd ever watched a movie, we just don't seem to question it. And somebody's having a flashback. Have you ever had a flashback that's that vivid? I don't. I mean, that's like... You're watching it recreated and acted out. I get that. It's, you know, a device that's used. But my memory would be like, the kids were homeschooled in that house. That's it. I don't remember a particular lesson. I just, that's about all I got. They were homeschooled there. And now that it's being sold again, we haven't owned the house now for 8 years. And it's being sold. I'll be fine. I'll be better if you can explain that phenomenon. Please send it to 877-282-2337.
This is from Jeff. Todd, I know that for pastors and elders, there are sins that disqualify them from those offices. Is that true for other areas of ministry? For instance, if it were discovered that the man who sang and played guitar during worship had committed adultery, would he still be able to serve in that capacity after repentance?
You would not be able to find a direct verse that would be like, okay, for worship leaders, here's the credit. First of all, the whole worship leader position is a very new phenomenon. Very, very new. At best, you used to have choir directors, but they would be heard but not seen. Nevertheless, you would have to therefore take a principle. What is a worship leader doing? That is not a small position. To me, a worship leader, honestly, this could change a lot in a lot of churches. I think it's a leadership role, hence the term worship leader. What are they leading? They're leading God's people and singing praises to the Almighty. Whoa. Now, you can't read 1 Timothy 2 and 3. You can't read Titus 1 and say, oh, okay, the qualifications for a worship leader are because they don't have that position. But we do see that there are indeed qualities, qualifications of an elder and a deacon. I think we can take the principle for that and apply it to a position like someone who leads worship. I absolutely do. So if they would not meet that standard and those criteria, now, do they need to be able to teach? It depends on what their worship leading looks like. I have to tell you, the worship leader thing, I would not say that it's wrong to do that. I get that. Today's style of music, it kind of necessitates it because it's not as easy to find your place. It's like, when do we start? Okay, we're doing the bridge, the chorus. Okay, it's not as easy as hymn singing. So I understand that. I don't have like an axe to grind about it, but I've seen that position expand way beyond just leading the music, teaching, talking between the songs, praying. That individual is a participant in the worship service, and the bar, the criteria for that, if they're teaching, then they have to have the gift of teaching. If they aren't, they're just doing the music up there, then I think the other qualifications apply. They need to be a godly individual. They need to be somebody who is dignified, somebody who's not addicted to wine. Now, do they need to have the gift of hospitality? Yeah, we debate that. But the point is, there should be standards for those who are leading. And I think a good place to start would be the qualifications of elder and deacon and apply them to anybody. Teachers in the classroom? Yeah. Now, I get it. I'm not naive. I can hear it. Do you know how hard it would be to get fill up all of these roles? Yeah, I do. And I feel that. But I also feel the necessity to be obedient to God and to have a standard that pleases Him and doesn't just fill the role. And so I think it depends on what the worship leader is doing. I think it depends. But I to say that he's without qualifications, no. And if furthermore, if somebody, was it committing adultery?
Yes.
Jimmy, was that the scenario?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay. Ongoing, Still, when did, how long has this been going on?
Yeah, he said, well, after they repented, could they go back?
Well, that's, well, here's a question. If somebody who is a professing believer commits adultery, will they ever be above reproach? And I think you have the answer to your question. I think sometimes, and I feel the practical pressures of the need for help and volunteers in a church. Believe me, I do. But if we don't have a higher view of God and His church and how it operates, I don't think it will be a blessed church. And I think the church that makes some of those decisions like, you know what, we're just not going to have a very good or a worship leader at all. We're just going to have to muddle through because of the scenario. I think God blesses that because God is pleased when we're striving to be as obedient as possible. And until tomorrow, go serve your King.